that's for sure. And we're seeing, at least from my perspective, it appears there seems to be more of this skullduggery going on these days in Saskatchewan, be it counterfeit money or grandparent scams. Always good to connect with Saskatoon Police Staff Sergeant Matthew Bradford. Bradford, that is, he's with the Police Service Economic Crime Section. Sergeant Bradford, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Brent.
So let's talk counterfeit. You and I had a discussion about this just a few weeks ago, and then I see on Crime Stoppers pictures of a guy that they want to talk to about $100 counterfeits. Are these better quality bills that are fooling people?
Yeah, just this last week, we had a sharp spike in counterfeit $100 notes that were in the city. We saw about six instances so far that I know of. There's probably more out there. And these are pretty good quality notes. They're polymer. They feel right. The big giveaway for these particular ones is they're all the same serial number. So when you look at a set of notes, they should all have a different number. Each note should have its own separate serial number. And in these cases, all these notes have the same serial number. That's the first big red flag that's easy to spot. They're being used, you know, to buy stuff on from buy and sell online deals, that kind of thing, and even in retail settings as well. The other big one with these particular notes is the metallic holograms that are in the transparent window. They are a sticker, so they're not integrated into the bill. And when you feel the bill, you'll notice that it's got a raised edge along those metallic elements in the window, and that is a giveaway that you're dealing with a counterfeit note.
And I've seen similar stories out in Alberta, so clearly this is fairly widespread right now.
Yes, I know a month ago they took down a manufacturer in Quebec that was making these kinds of notes. I don't know if these notes are coming from that area per se, or if there's other places that are making them. We're kind of hoping maybe, you know, remote, that whatever supply that got into the system from this fella in Quebec, maybe it'll dry up now that he's out of business.
We're talking also about grandparent scams, and I see where there was a couple in Regina who were quick to figure out that their granddaughter they thought they were talking to wasn't their granddaughter. And I wanted to ask you, when you see these grandparent scams where they're impersonating a family member, convincing people to get money to them for their bail or whatever it may be, is AI now starting to play a part? I know the one article from Regina said they really thought it was their granddaughter. So is there voice mimicking going on?
We're not seeing evidence of that, Brent. The reality is it's very hard for these fraudsters to track down who your family members are, then get a sample of their voice, and then use AI to mimic it. Now, I'm not saying it hasn't happened in fraud cases, because it has. There's some pretty high-profile cases where AI was used to mimic CEOs and wealthy people and that kind of thing in order to commit massive frauds on specific targets where there was a lot of wealth known. The fact is that most what we know about these cases is that they're cold calls. They usually are being made based on postal code, so they just go through the phone book based on postal code and make cold calls to landlines, because the idea is that landlines are still being used primarily by the older population, whereas most young people are, gone to cell phones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And once they get that person on the phone, they use a lot of techniques to manipulate and help them believe that, obviously that they're talking to their family member and not to a fraudster. So they're very good at what they do. As far as gender, and I've seen a few. Brent, we don't see the ones that fail, right? We only see the ones that succeed. But the one I have seen a few that failed, and obviously, the person was the wrong gender. They don't have a granddaughter, they don't have a grandson, but they're talking to a male or female, that kind of thing. So then, that way, right away, the person knows that the person's a scammer. But there's other ways that people can be manipulated to believe that they're talking to their family member. Oftentimes, as soon as someone picks up the phone, the frauds will say grandma or grandpa, depending on who they're talking to, and then right away they're into that dialogue, and where the person's kind of offering information to, offering names and that kind of thing, that can happen. So we don't see it in these particular cases with the use of AI. We just ask people to be on their guard, be aware that these are happening, and then just really understand that no lawyer, court, government agency is ever going to ask for cash in an envelope to be picked up by a courier. That's never going to happen in Canada.
Okay. So you really got to, for everybody, second guess everything, right? Be it counterfeit bills or the grandchild that's on the phone begging for money, I guess, here.
Right. And I mean, my biggest piece of advice, especially when it comes to the grandparent scam, is like screen your calls, right? Like you don't, if you don't recognize a number, maybe let it go to voicemail. And that's usually your first easy step to prevent some of this stuff from happening. If it's a legitimate issue, they should leave a voicemail. If it's a fraudster, they're probably not going to. So you can always call someone back if you need to, if it sounds legitimate. But you know, on first instance, I just recommend that unless you recognize the number, just maybe let the voicemail handle it.
Good advice, especially as we head towards the Christmas season here. Staff Sergeant Matthew Bradford, thanks for your time.
You bet, Brent. Take care.
You bet. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauk's filling in today. Evan's back tomorrow on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.